We interrupt this podcast with a message from our sponsor.
We have an amazing opportunity for you to support one of Stars Hollow's favorite businesswomen. The Dragonfly is finally opening and the Dream Team needs you. In exchange for a free stay, they ask for your unfiltered critique. They even provide their own note cards for you to write your thoughts on.
Be prepared for a one-of-a-kind experience from the moment you are picked up from your car to the second you depart the next morning feeling full from the five-star breakfast. You'll get to follow your own door to your room, too. How whimsical.
The evening will be filled with good food, games, fuzzy robes, a flash of bosom, and a couple explosions. You're also guaranteed to see a sight that will burn your retinas when Kirk streaks through the inn during a night terror.
For listeners of Talking Fast, you'll get a seat at breakfast right next to Babette and Miss Patty to get all the tea from the night. They'll somehow know who fought with whom, which slow burn couple finally kissed, and even who the newest Stars Hollow homewrecker is. You'll never believe what can happen in one night.
Welcome to another episode of Talking Fast, a Gilmore Girls podcast. I'm Suzanne.
And I'm Alexis.
And we're two longtime fans of the show, excited to rewatch and recap it along the way.
This week we are recapping the finale of season 4, episode 22. It is titled Raincoats and Recipes, and the Netflix bio for this episode is... Lorelai invites friends and family to do a test run of the Dragonfly in opening. Two suitors pursue Lorelai.
They leave out so much.
Yes. And I have a question about the title. Why is it Raincoats and Recipes?
That's a good question. I get the recipes potentially with Sookie. Yeah. I feel like this is a reference to something we don't understand. So if any of our like Gilmore Girls aficionados out there understand the title, please let us know. We'll talk about it in our next episode if you can give us the deets, because I can't think of a
explanation. What a way to expose us at the very beginning. We don't know the context of the title. I was just thinking as I was reading that, I'm like, I don't think that anyone wore a raincoat. Yeah. It wasn't even raining. And like, sure, Sookie's cooking again, but they don't talk about recipes.
Yeah.
Like,
the only connection mystery I could make with raincoats is like the kind of classic view of like a woman showing up in a raincoat and then flashing she's naked underneath to her love interest. And like Kirk does that. We get a bit of flashing from Babette. But
it should have been called like bathrobes and flashing, or I don't know.
Yeah, bathrobes and
bosoms.
Yeah,
and bums.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Okay. So we'll start with our Kirk's mailbag. We've got a 5-star review to read for you guys today. This is from quite a while ago, from 2 years ago. I didn't check the specific date, but.
At the bottom of the mailbag.
Yeah. The title is A Reader, Not a Watcher. We are both also readers, but also watchers.
Yeah.
And it reads, watching a show is usually a backdrop for crafting for me, so I miss more than I absorb. But I wanted a different experience in watching Gilmore Girls. My adult daughter watches it repeatedly and seemed interested in my giving it a try. I experimented with watching an episode, then listening to a podcast. After trying several podcasts, Talking Fast has proven to be my favorite. There are structural elements to each episode with room for improvisation. I especially appreciate the explanation of cultural references, like the Here's Johnny remark in episode 11. Because of my age, 68, I associate that remark with Johnny Carson, so it made no sense whatsoever. I'm looking forward to hearing y'all again on January 4th. Happy holidays. Parentheses, my first podcast review. End quote.
And that person is probably 70 now.
Yeah.
Not to call them out, but 2 years ago.
I hope you're still listening.
Yeah, that's such a lovely review.
So I know.
Observant and detailed.
Such a nice sentiment to like be watching a show to connect with your daughter.
Yeah, that's what could so be nice. More Gilmore than that?
I know, yeah.
Emily and Lorelai should try it.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. What would they watch? Procedurals? I don't know.
Hard to say. Yeah.
dancing.
Dancing with the Stars, yeah.
And just a reminder, if you have thoughts or anything about season four or anything we've ever talked about, really, you can email us and we'll talk about it on our mailbag, or you can send it via Instagram or leave us a review. We always appreciate those. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, our email address is talkingfastpodcast @gmail.com.
Yes, yes. And I believe we have some news that we can share at the end of our mailbag. Think of it as a letter from us to you about our future. We have mentioned at the end of a podcast previously, but to front this information, we are reaching the end of season four. So we will follow that up with our classic season recap and two fun episodes with guests that we think you'll have a lot of fun with. And then we will be going on a bit of a break, but we don't like to stay out of touch for too long. So we plan to actually try out something new with posting some random shorter kind of podcasts on our Patreon. So we're trying to get like a little Patreon community going while we'll be on our break, kind of busy with some life events like we've mentioned. And as that's going on, we also thought it might be neat to air every other week some of our older episodes, since we've, you know, accumulated listeners, which we love as we've gone on. We think maybe some people might have missed some of our stuff from earlier, so we'll probably do one episode per season, something like that. And we hope you'll enjoy listening to those again if you're not familiar, or I mean, listening to them for the first time if you have joined us recently.
And also a little bit of extra information on our Patreon. We will be opening it up with a $2 tier for people to listen to our fun pop culture or whatever references, whatever episodes we decide to post. They should be fun during our break. But also, if you are interested in participating in our March Madness on Instagram, of course, you'll be voting on Instagram. But if you want to fill out your own bracket, you can get that on Patreon when you sign up.
Yeah. Yeah. So the bracket will be $1 in our Patreon shop, I believe, which you don't have to be a patron for. But you can also get it for free if you are a member of the Patreon. Mm-hmm. So you can do the math. You can think about what works for you. Yeah. It's, you know, just a little bit to support us.
Yeah.
We're like Rory. We, you know, we're looking, she's looking for a summer job this episode. We also are in a boat like that sometimes.
Is she really looking for a summer job? She's not trying that hard.
We're trying harder, probably.
Yeah. To find us on Patreon, just search for Talking Fast Podcast and you will see our little gazebo logo.
Which we love. Okay. And our tier is called the Gazebo Club, by the way. Mm-hmm. So join us in the club.
Oh, dear.
Okay. This is a momentous one. So we should probably get into things and open with our initial thoughts. What were your impressions of this major episode, Suzanne?
It is long awaited. I love it. There are things that happen in this episode that I detest, but in a way that's also very fun. It's like, it's one of those, like, I love to hate some of the events, obviously the Rory and Dean stuff. But then there's also just great stuff like Lorelai and Luke finally. We haven't had a good town shenanigans episode for a while, so I love getting that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just love this episode. It was not like last week where I had trouble finding a Friday night dinner. I definitely found one for this week. But it was hard picking my gazebo moments.
Yeah, yeah.
What were your thoughts on this episode?
I feel the same way. It's so, it's like, it's a really good finale of the season and has so much fun, but I don't know, maybe I'm still shaken by the end. It's so hard.
Yeah, I know.
But I do kind of think that is part of the complexity of it as well, like mm-hmm. for them to not end on Luke and Lorelai, but to throw in the Rory thing as well, like that shows a certain like confidence, I feel like, and mm-hmm. it makes it much more like intriguing and memorable, and it's not simple by any means. So
yeah,
for that reason, there's plenty to talk about, as I've said before.
We got a lot of feedback from people on our Instagram about this episode. We'll try to sprinkle throughout, mm-hmm. but there are a couple overarching sentiments that I think we both share. One of them is, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Perfect.
That's summation. So accurate.
Yeah. It's simultaneously the best and worst episode, and it's the biggest, mm-hmm. most juicy episode in the entire show. And I think I agree with that. Like, the Rory Dean stuff is just so juicy, you know? It's like, it changes everything.
Yeah, I know. I was trying, I feel like it's definitely in my top two mm-hmm. or three juicy episodes. The dropping out of Yale stuff, I do find to be quite juicy. I don't know. Yeah. But this is incredibly juicy.
Yeah. Okay. I suppose we should do our talking fast to get into it.
Yeah. We got to tell them what it was all about quickly.
Yeah. Good luck to my...
All right. On your mark, get set, go.
So we start off, Rory's back from college. She doesn't have much to do this summer. But the big event is that the inn is opening. They're doing a test run with all the folks from Stars Hollow coming to stay. That means there's a huge amount of people coming together, including Richard and Emily that Lorelai kind of tricks into coming. Luke is going to be there, and also all the townspeople, Kirk with his naked issues. And then, oh gosh, and then there's Luke and Lorelai kiss, and Rory and Dean hook up. Oh gosh. Oh, wow. That was bad.
It's all good. Yes, as you mentioned in your last couple seconds, as the buzzer was ringing, Luke and Lorelai finally kiss, and Dean and Rory share a kiss of their own, in a way.
Yeah. Many kisses, I presume.
As we'll see.
Just like the ick I feel for Dean in this episode is so strong.
It's major. It's worse than I thought it would be, to be honest. Like, I thought I was preparing myself throughout the second half of the season. I'm like, I'm mentally prepared. And yet, I was just cringe.
Yeah.
Just so much filled my body with cringe.
I think usually when I'm rewatching, those are the moments I check Instagram, you know, go to TikTok for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But there's no getting away.
For podcasters.
Yeah.
It's our duty. Mm-hmm. Okay. But that is the very end of the episode, and it's probably more appropriate to begin our slowed down recap at the start. So at the beginning, as Suzanne mentioned, Rory is up. She's home from college. She's still on her final schedule. She's making mac and cheese, doing laundry in the middle of the night. And it actually reminded me a bit of the scene in the reboot where she's up and she's stressed tap dancing, you know? but in this one, Lorelai has like wandered down. She's probably been woken up, and she's got really perfect hair for someone who is supposedly mid-sleep.
Not believable.
No. We learn in this as well that Rory has also been working on her resume in the late hours. This is when I did think it was a nice little tidbit of information that she was working the cafeteria job that we saw her do in like one episode. Like, she did need that for money, apparently, which had been a question we had at the time of like what motivated her. I don't know if it was like that realistic in the end, but I do like the attention to detail there a little bit. And relatedly to that, she's looking for a summer job. And a good paying one at that, ideally. We'll see how that shakes out for her in the end. But this scene ends with Lorelai locking her in her room and going back to bed, which is a nice touch.
I loved how she did all of that silently as Rory just kept babbling.
Yeah.
Great. And our next scene after the wonderful credits that I always skip, we're at the inn where Lorelai and Michelle are like running down the last checklist before the dry run of the inn. And Michelle has attempted to save a room for his Chow Chow puppies. Lorelai, of course, does not like this. Michelle compares them to Rory and asks why Rory's allowed to come, but his puppies aren't. That's a great question, honestly. Mm-hmm. And then we get a view of Kirk, who is setting up the fire, and he gets my Lorelai's closet for this episode in his red and black plaid lumberjack flannel shirt. He's taking this very seriously. He has this hilarious line where Lorelai suggests the wood goes outside as you normally would with wood. Mm-hmm. And Kirk is just like, would you want to submit your wood to the elements? Wonderful. And Lulu is there being his biggest fan. I love their relationship. It's very cute.
Yeah. I also had a Lorelai's closet in this scene.
Oh.
It was to Lorelai herself. She was wearing a dragonfly t-shirt. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't notice that. Oops.
Yeah. Cute. Yeah, I don't think it was like Dragonfly Inn merch. I think she probably bought it because it had a dragonfly on it. But I thought it was sort of a small little thing that it's like, oh yeah, it makes sense she'd wear a dragonfly shirt when they're getting ready. I thought it was really cute and a good small thing. But I would also note in this scene on the Kirk and Lulu front that Lorelai invites Kirk and Lulu to the test run of the inn, which will come up in a bit more. And as for the other characters, Sookie, meanwhile, is getting ready. She's loving her kitchen staff. We learn that she has to fire two of them, unfortunately, because she thought two would, like, not accept the job offer. But they have, and she likes all of them, though, so that will be kind of her struggle throughout the episode. A good problem to have, perhaps. She also has forgotten her wedding anniversary. Luckily, they caught it in time, though. Like, there's still plenty of time in the day, but she runs out. And honestly, I mean, who can blame her, right? Like, they've got a lot going on. And then finally, I think the final thing is that Lorelai is being awkward about Luke at this point and later on as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love that. After this, we go back to find Rory waking up at like 11:30 a.m., which, you know, college age, I feel like I slept until 11:30 on the weekends until I was like 26 or something.
Oh, yeah. She needed it, too. She was up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it's true. She's got a sticky note on her forehead to meet Lorelai at Luke's for lunch. Before that, she stops by Lane's. And they start off by playing a video game, which I thought was funny. We'd, almost never see video games except for when Zach and Brian are playing. And then Lane asks for the tea about the Jess scene from last episode. And I love this. She has been hiding her fancy snacks in the floorboard of the kitchen.
She's back to her floorboard life.
She pulls out two little cans of Pringles, and then she sits down to, like, listen to Rory tell this story as if she's sitting down to watch, like, the juiciest episode of reality TV with her snacks. It's just great. Shows how little entertainment they have. They probably don't have cable or anything like that, I imagine. So, Rory tells Lane about all the Jess stuff, how he made that huge proposal to run away. Lane kind of likes this idea, like, she's into it. But then Rory starts talking about Dean and how she feels so safe with Dean and she really blew it. And it's just like the look on her face. It's just like, I wish Lane at this point had slapped some sense into her or something, because just like you know the way she's talking that she's not considering Lindsay. She like sees Dean still as her boyfriend. mm-hmm. which really comes up, like, becomes apparent later on. But it was just, blech, blech.
Yeah. I feel like Lane is partially in the dark about the Dean mm-hmm. stuff. And that's how Rory should know that something is really off when you don't feel comfortable yeah. sharing it with your best friend. Because oh, yeah. when she's talking about Jess visiting, she, like, it's almost to the point of lying where she's like, oh, I was there. I was at the pub. I, like, she does not mention Dean was there at all. And so she's, like, leaving out some crucial details. But beside that, I was so glad we finally got a scene of Rory confiding in yeah, someone.
Seriously.
Especially Lane. We've been wanting this for seasons and seasons now. And it's like, look how good this was. How easy and natural it was. Like, we get to feel, we get to know how Rory feels about Jess and Dean. We get friendship bonding. We finally get a bit of how Lane feels about her romantic partners. Like, she does find Jess's stuff romantic. And she even says he's cute because he's unpredictable.
Yeah.
So it's like, we always thought Lane could be a Jess girl. And here we find out it's oh, yeah. true.
Lane and Paris are Jess girls. That says something.
Right. Right. And I feel like it's easy to be a Jess girl and, like, when he's not there yeah, for Lane, right? Like, it's like the memory, the idea of him. Whereas when he was actually there, like, it was a bit more complicated than that. But, yeah, my final thought was, like, listening to Rory talk so wistfully about Dean. I was like, I don't know if we've said this before, but I want to state for the record, I'm like, I do feel like I'm understanding why Rory is into Dean. And it's because, like, she's had a year at college where her life was changing and it's turbulent.
Yeah,
and she's like, yeah, rather than embrace change and, like, gaining independence, she's rather just, like, reverting back to, like, a younger self, or trying to go back to, like, her younger relationship that felt stable, or at least feels knowable to her. Like, she thinks she knows what to expect from it. And so, yeah, she's, like, with Dean because of those reasons. And, yeah, I wish she was just, like, telling the full story to Lane. Yeah. Because then as a friend, you could maybe try to, like, provide the guidance of, like, that Dean that you knew isn't even that Dean anymore, mm-hmm. you know?
He's, like, got some facial hair now.
Yeah, a bowl cut, facial hair, yeah. a wife, like, you name it.
Yeah, I like that yeah. you bring up that she's, like, resisting change. I feel like we brought that up at some point earlier on in this season. Mm. I think it might have been when she was, like, freaking out about her study tree, perhaps, where she's, like, yeah, trying so yeah. hard to, she's struggling with the change, which is totally understandable. Like, everything is turned on its head when you go to college. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, her going back to Dean is, I'd prefer her freak out about the tree, to be honest.
Yeah, same. And it was just like, it will never be as it was, which yeah. is what she learns in season 5.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to have a great relationship, but
yeah,
time will tell for her.
Yeah, I feel like that is one of the biggest lessons of your 20s, is that you can never go back to something. It's never going to be exactly how it was before.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, growing old.
Oh. Well, from here, Rory walks across the town square. The troubadour is playing a song, which was big finale energy. You know, like, they're like, we'll spend the money. We'll write in, like, a extended scene of the troubadour singing as Alexis Bledel, like, walks a long way to get to Luke's, which was nice. I liked it. Rory meets Lorelai for lunch at Luke's, and we get some fun stuff with Lorelai talking to Rory about Luke. So this is yet another kind of confessional scene, which I enjoy. Lorelai first tells Rory to, like, observe Luke and see if there's anything different. But Rory's like, I don't know what you're talking about. So they step outside to have a more confidential conversation where Lorelai says, I think I'm dating Luke. I'm not sure. And Lorelai and Rory's like, how do you not know? But they talk about it. And of course, the conversation kind of boils to the point where Rory is saying, you can't just, like, date Luke. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't something casual. This isn't a simple decision to make. Like, everyone would know, and it would be really bad for us if it doesn't work out. Like, that's their whole diet, you know? So sustenance would be out of the door.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So, I mean, it's a good mother-daughter talk. And I have my Roar's bookshelf in this conversation.
Me
do
too.
You?
Yeah.
I thought you might, but I had to nominate it as well. Actually, there's... Rory begins the conversation by saying, "What's your damage, Heather?" Mm-hmm. Which is a reference to the movie Heathers, which was really good. But great then movie. Another reference comes up where Lorelai says, "If only I could find a man like Aragorn." love. I'm the same way.
I feel like I've heard so many of my straight girl female friends say something along those lines.
Yeah. I remember when I was younger, I was a Legolas girl, because probably because that was like Orlando Bloom in the, like, also with Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, like
his heyday.
He was so hot in Pirates of the Caribbean. But now I'm definitely Aragorn all the way.
Yeah, I feel like that's also a common progression. You go with Legolas. He's the, like, kind of pretty boy.
Pretty boy.
And then, then you mature and it's all Aragorn. And then I think it's Aragorn for the rest of your life. Nobody ever becomes a Gandalf person except for me. But not that way. Not that way.
Actually, I think I might have... Did I mature to hot Sauron? Where's that on the spectrum? Rings of Power, shout out.
I was always a... Sam was always my favorite. But I feel like that was just like a precursor to me finding out that I'm asexual. I was like, Sam is my favorite because he would be such a good friend.
Yeah, you're like, I really want that person to be my friend.
Yeah, not that Sean Astin is like an unattractive person or something, but he's he's no Aragorn really. So
yeah, I mean, you could have such a good life with Sam.
Yeah,
marriage or friendship otherwise, like that's his whole thing. So he's definitely up there with Aragorn for me in terms of favorite characters.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I'm planning to do an extended edition rewatch in the coming weekends after
Very
I move.
Nice. Very good. Yeah. So yeah, Lorelai, as a fellow Lord of the Rings fan, she has high role models for good men. And we'll find out if Luke is up there for her. Speaking of less than role model men, at the end of the scene, Rory is like, they're back in Luke's, and Rory looks out the window and she sees Dean like round the corner, and he's looking extra big footish.
Yeah, he really is.
He's just looking so tall, even from a distance. His hair's out of control at this point. He needs a haircut. And he like looks at her, she waves, and he just totally ignores her and walks away. So icing her out for some reason. We don't really know.
Yeah. Yet. I have an ongoing gazebo moment in this episode, and the first instance of it is in this scene where when Lorelai and Rory come back in, and Lorelai's like trying to act natural and everything, and then she falls on the table as soon as Luke talks to her. And that is going to be my gazebo moment for the episode, just like the level of flusteredness that that Lorelai is whenever Luke is around in this episode. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. I was reading an AV Club review of this episode from like, it was like 2017 or something. So I think a reviewer is like rewatching it later on. But anyway, they were describing Lorelai's reactions as like kind of a slapstick sort of comedy that you normally see more with Sookie, and like it's different for Lorelai and Lauren Graham. Like, she's not often acting like that, but it's like very fun.
Yeah,
and so a very good reaction.
Yeah, it's hard to like fall and trip on things and make it look like it's actually an accident, but I believe it from her.
Yeah, this one was really good. It's impressive to like knock over a whole table's worth of things. But
yeah, seriously. After this, we have a fairly short Friday night dinner. We get our first view of Richard in a couple episodes. Rory and Lorelai are, of course, not happy with the food selection, which is some sort of duck or whatever. And Richard and Emily, I noted, are very snippy at each other.
I wrote snapping at each other.
Richard is snapping. Yeah. Richard is just like, being super cold and judgy about everything, trying to rush things, annoyed that things are taking a long time. And we get a couple things in this episode. First, Emily asks Rory if she wants to go to Europe with her that summer. This will come up, but the payoff isn't going to be until we come back for season 5.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. The other thing is Lorelai is determined to get them to finally admit that they're separated at some point. And her strategy to do this is to invite them through familial guilt to the opening or the test run of the inn and force them to be together or admit that they have separated. So that's going to be fun.
Do you think that Lorelai's motivations are that she wants to, like, legitimately parent trap her parents and get them to be together again? Or does she just want them to communicate to her that they're separated because she's annoyed they're not telling them? Because I feel like the first method is kind of noble and heartwarming. The second one, as we'll see them, like, get angry with her later on, is, like, it is kind of just annoying to a certain extent.
Yeah. Honestly, I kind of think it's the second one.
Yeah.
Like, she could say she gave them the little bungalow outside of the inn, so potentially that could be more romantic, but I don't know. I don't think that's really what she's going for.
Yeah.
It'll take a bit more effort, I think.
Yeah. And they had argued and then made up before at the Bracebridge dinner,
yeah, that's
right?
True.
So I think they could have drawn more parallels to that if they wanted us to know that Lorelai was trying to do something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's not really. It's more like a gotcha kind of framework, it seems.
Yeah, it's a rough one. I'm just, like, looking forward to the day that the dog appears for Emily and Richard. Do you remember that episode?
Oh, right. Speaking of people who are having a rough time, Kirk, the next day, storms into Luke's all the way up to his apartment, looks around, temporarily distracted, says, like, oh, it looks different than I expected, and my room's a bomb shelter, so we always learn something new about Kirk's home life. But the reason Kirk is here, he's worried about spending the night with Lulu at the test run of the inn. He says, oh, don't worry. We've had lots and lots of sex, but we've never spent the night together because I have night terrors that end up with him completely naked in each scenario, it seems like. It's a very funny scene, especially with Luke's very, like, grumbly, pained responses from all of this information and the fact that Kirk is also trying to, like, loop him into helping him out with this situation. And a line I want to highlight is that Kirk says, I can't assault her before I tell her I love her.
Oh, a romantic.
Which is, you know, yeah, romantic.
The burgeoning BFF ship of Luke and Kirk. I love
it. It's going reluctantly strong on Luke's part.
Yeah. Though I think if it were to end, he would be sad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be a fun scene later on.
Definitely.
After this, we are at the inn for the test run. The big day has arrived. Suki is still struggling to winnow down her staff. She can't find any one of them who's terrible. They all seem to be good, which is... I just keep thinking with all of her scenes here about all of the chef shows and movies we've gotten lately, like The Bear and the Yes Chef stuff, and then The Menu. Did you ever see that with...
Oh, yeah. I love The Menu.
Yeah, that one was good. I need to rewatch that. That's the way to cut down your staff.
What about, like, a spinoff of Gilmore Girls, but it's Sookie's Kitchen?
Yeah. That's it's like what she was doing in the revival. And also, there are no doors yet for any of the rooms.
Concern.
Yeah. This reminds me of a time when I was living with my grandparents, and they were renovating, replacing all the doors, and the new ones didn't come in for quite a while, so we all had to just live with no doors. Like,
oh no,
attempt to hang curtains on the bathroom doors and stuff. It was uncomfortable.
Oh my.
But the guests start to arrive. They are brought onto the property in these, like, little carts, It's just a full experience from the first moment. Mm-hmm. And we get some Miss Patty and Babette banter and praise about the inn. Taylor's there to take notes and give all of his critiques and comments. And let's see. And then as Lorelai is greeting everyone, Kirk shows up and he is looking for Luke, who is mm-hmm. not there yet. And Kirk is being very sus. And then we get a Rory and Dean moment. She sees him bringing in the doors and stops him and is trying to explain that Jess didn't stay, like she didn't want him there. Kind of deja vu. I feel like we've been through this same conversation before a couple seasons ago. But then Dean, throughout all of this, is like not looking at her until finally he looks at her and they, I don't even remember exactly what they're saying. She's like kind of saying like, because you're worried about me and stuff like that, as they're moving mm-hmm. closer and closer and closer together. And I'm like sitting there about to puke.
Yeah. Yeah. She's saying like, well, why would you be so yeah. mad if I was with Jess?
Just fishing.
You're concerned about me as a friend, mm-hmm. right? As they're like getting closer and closer. Yeah. And luckily, Tom ruins the moment, or mm-hmm. he interrupts by calling Dean's attention for the door situation. So ugh. We're saved in that moment.
Yeah. The sexual tension is palpable in the worst way.
Yeah. Yeah. In the worst way. Definitely. And I will say, like, the rest of this, as the test run is going on, is like a little hectic or mm-hmm. busy. There's a lot of like small moments here and there. So we'll do our best to get all of them. But I will note that Kirk is trying to get settled in and having a hard time because he wants all of these things removed from his room. He's worried about it. And when Michelle will not take the paintings down that are bolts into the walls, Kirk says, my Jess-ass attack, which is, well, I guess you've never been in love.
Oh.
Which is really fun. And they're all kind of like following their door up to their room. Mm-hmm. Like Miss Patty tells the guy, you go first, honey. And then she like visually checks out his ass as he's going up. Taylor's brought his own comic cards. Luke has arrived with flowers. Mm-hmm. Very romantic. Sweet. He gives them to Lorelai. And then there's a little gazebo moment part yeah. two for you, probably. Describe to us what happens.
She turns around after babbling to Luke, getting him his room and everything, just in the classic Lorelai and Rory whenever they're super nervous babble. And she turns around and walks straight into one of the moving doors behind her and then tries to play it off as a bit. So it's her second incident of physical injury because of how flustered she is. It's very mm-hmm. cute.
Mm-hmm.
Luke, I just like Luke's reactions to all of this because he's almost not reacting at all. But yeah. you can also kind of see like a bit of, I don't know, like self-satisfaction in it. Like,
yeah.
oh,
yeah.
She's flustered.
She's flustered.
Yeah.
It is like we were kind of more locked into Luke's perspective last episode, but we aren't in this one as much really. So yeah, mm-hmm. you're kind of wondering like, what is Luke thinking about all of this and how she's behaving and whatnot?
Yeah. Hopefully he notices.
Mm-hmm.
We get a scene next-ish of the dinner event. And this kind of bleeds into them playing games and stuff later on. But a couple important things happen here. First off, Jackson has gotten a shirt from Sookie for their wedding anniversary. And also, second, my Stars Hollow moment. I had a really hard time picking one for this episode, but it's Babette and Miss Patty are sitting there in bathrobes, praising the bathrobes, which reminds me of Emily and Lorelai at that spa.
Yeah.
And then Luke is sitting with them being very embarrassed because Babette accidentally flashed a bosom at him. And during this, also, Luke kind of looks up as Babette is talking and makes eye contact with Lorelai, and they have like a moment of just looking at each other and kind of smiling. And then Lorelai turns around and runs into a waiter.
Yeah.
So my Star Solo moment for the Miss Patty and Babette stuff, embarrassing Luke, and my part three of gazebo moment for Lorelai running into waiter.
Wonderful.
Very cute.
I gave this whole dinner setup my Star Solo moment as well, because I liked all the different pairings of different townsfolk together. Like, you don't always see Luke with Patty and Babette, and it was just such a fun pairing. And I love that Rory and Jackson were sitting together as, like, you know, they're related or married to the people who are in charge, and they're talking about how they're biased, you know, like, they love the dinner, but yeah, they're biased. And Jackson says, yeah, I'm sleeping with the chef. And Rory's like, well, you so provided cute. The vegetable soup. And so he's like, yeah, I can't be trusted at all. We've also got Tom in a suit.
Oh, yeah.
And Lorelai is surprised, but he's like, I'm more of a suit guy than anything else.
I love Tom's humor. He's so, like,
I know.
Sarcastic. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. So I really enjoyed seeing everyone there and watching their little dinner chit-chat and whatnot. Lorelai, once she's done running into that waiter, goes back to the kitchen with Sookie, Michelle. They're kind of, like, assessing how things are going. And there's this, like, it's, like, a quick moment, but Lorelai says, like, this is going to work. And, like, they kind of just take – it's short, but they take a second to be like, we've done this. Yay. It's going well. Like, this is going to go well. And it's very heartwarming, I felt.
Yeah, loved it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Only to be followed up with a shocking, juicy event, which is probably why this episode is so juicy.
Yeah.
It is the arrival of one Jason Styles. You might have thought you had seen the last of him, like me, because you forgot this plotline. But no, he's here. And he is insistent on staying. He says he wants to try things again. He claims that the last few weeks were a cooling off period, not a breakup. And all in all, we've, you know, been on and off about our feelings for Jason, and seeing him here, like, I have a bit of sympathy because, like, it was a very sudden and quick breakup. So, like, I understand him wanting closure, and I kind of want the closure as a viewer as well. But the way that he goes about it by, like, refusing to leave and potentially, like, disrupting this event that she has spent all season longer than that in terms of her life, like, planning for, dreaming of, like, it's so rude and selfish of him to do this, you know?
Yeah.
Not a big fan.
I fully agree. I gave Jason showing up and everything he does my Friday night dinner for that reason. I especially noted that he like, attempts to have the normal banter with Lorelai, and she's just not partaking in it, and he's not reading any of the signs, and I feel like he's kind of like when he was first trying to get her to go out with him, he wore her down, and I hated that at the time, and I feel like he's trying to do that again. Like, if I just keep bantering with her, keep engaging her in this conversation, eventually she'll come around. We did also have quite a few listener comments about the Jason stuff.
Let's see. Jason was unhinged, someone says.
I agree.
Someone else says, ugh, Jason. And a third person wrote in, writing, Jason showing up and refusing to leave was cringe, bordering on harassment. I agree with all of that.
Yeah, I feel like that bordering on harassment thing is really what got to me. And especially later on when he has that conversation with Luke, that's like fully overstepping everything, trying to manipulate the situation his way. And it's just like, I don't know. There were times this season when I did like Jason, as you can hear in our past episodes. Mm-hmm. But I think all in all, I'm not a Jason fan. And I'm kind of sad to say that, because he could be a really cool character, I think. But he just, like, I don't know, he just mistreats people in such a, like, kind of, like, a manipulative way, where he's using his humor and stuff to catch people off guard until he gets what he wants. I feel like that's what he does with Lorelai. And then he's also, like, with the whole Floyd Richard situation, he's just refusing to see other options. I don't know. I was just glad he disappears after this.
Yeah, I feel like this is not his shining moment at all. And it sort of does undo some of the more positive associations we've had with him throughout the season. And like I said with Glenn, it's your final moments that really count in terms of memory of the character. And it's just hard to even understand fully, like, where he's coming from in this episode too. Like, it almost feels really, I don't know if it's hastily written necessarily, but like the attempt to provide that closure, I feel like they really just kind of threw him in here and as a way to fit him in the plot already. Like, oh, well, has to be at the inn. And then it seems like they clearly know they're going to go for Luke and Lorelai. So it's almost kind of mean of them to, like, put Jason in here when he stands no chance. It's like, why is he even there?
Yeah.
He doesn't, like, it's not going to happen for him. And so he's almost, like, as a character, subjected to just some torture by the writers here. And, like, even with how it ends with him just going to the bathroom, like, we get no closure. That's his final thing. Like, we don't know. Very much like Max, like, who, we never know how Max learned that he was left at the altar. Like, who told Jason? Was it Miss Patty?
I bet they totally did.
Yeah, you know, so.
Yeah.
Poor Jason, kind of. But yeah, he is, like, being annoying here.
Yeah. We also get a little glimpse of Luke seeing that Jason has arrived from the dining room.
Yeah. And this sort of, like, the post-dinner series of little moments, we do see Jason. I mean, we see Luke in the background, like, staring at Jason and spying on him. It's very, like, he has to get the intel from Babette, which I love.
Yeah. Before we get to that part, though, we see Kirk and Lulu head off to bed. They make this a very public thing, which is interesting. Kirk signals to Luke to check in on him, of course.
Babette notices Kirk's interaction with Luke, and she says, I think Kirk wants you to go upstairs and make love to him.
I mean, it does kind of Babette. Seem like that. And after this, Lorelai goes around. She's checking in on everybody. She asks Rory to run home and pick up some CDs for the guests. And then,
how could she?
Yeah. Then she...
It's Lorelai's fault.
It totally is. She started it. And then Lorelai goes and gives Jason some food, and they kind of continue this conversation. And this is when Luke asks Babette for the tea about who Jason is. We have one listener who wrote in and said, Babette and Miss Patty are iconic. I love them so much, but I have a bit of pity for Luke. And I feel like this might have been the moment they were talking about, because Babette is just kind of giving him all of the gossip, like, no holds barred. Phrase always gets me. And he's just kind of listening. Babette doesn't realize that she's torturing him with all this tea, but he is getting the information. So
he's getting scalded by the hot tea.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, and Babette, like, the main point of this is Babette had thought they broke up, but since he's here, maybe not. So Luke is now questioning whether Lorelai is actually single or not.
Yeah, so that will come to a head shortly. But before that, we have a bit of drama in another relationship. Emily, Richard, and Lorelai. Emily bursts into the inn angrily. Lorelai is like, what's going on? And Emily is angry about how they're in the private bungalow, how they had room service. And she's like, I'm on to you, Lorelai. Like, I know what you're doing. You're like torturing us because we're separated. And like, she finally admits it to Lorelai, and Lorelai and her go like really back and forth about this in a convoluted way of like, you should have known. Well, you didn't tell me, so how could I have known? But you did know, so how could you do this? And this is when I really started to like, earlier in the episode, I had thought this was like a genuine mm-hmm. parent trap situation. But now at this point, I was like, no, this was kind of like a get them caught
yeah.
in their like separation and admit it to everyone else. Mm-hmm. And Lorelai basically admits to that when she agrees that she did bring them there under the pretense of family obligation. She describes that as the Gilmore way, which is fairly accurate, I guess. Yeah. You know, she learned it from somewhere. But I am on Emily's side here, where I just find it like rude to just like kind of play this prank on them almost, just so that you get, I don't know. But Richard bursts in as well. They're looking at Jason in shock mm-hmm. as well. Like, it's a very awkward, intense interaction. And Emily and Richard leave. They do not stay the night yeah. to make up their argument in the evening. Oof. They go home, and we're left with the knowledge that Richard and Emily Gilmore are separated. And that's the last we see of them in this episode. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a first, and it's really big and sad, I would say.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, we've, as the audience, known about it for a while, but yeah. it's still like, and also knowing that it will be a while before they get back together. Yeah, it's sad. Because even if we didn't always like the choices that Richard and Emily made, they were always like a power couple, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They were always on each other's team. They'd have tiffs now and then, but they'd always come back to each other. So knowing that they're apart is sad. And we don't really get any, like, any moment for Lorelai to really dwell on that. And, oh gosh, okay. The next scene, Rory is at home. She's looking for CDs, and then Dean arrives with no real legitimate explanation as to why he's there. He just found out yeah. from Lorelai where she was. And they start their weird, soft, gross talking to each other again. I'm just this so disgusted.
Also, this is also when I noticed Rory is wearing that dress. Like, I can always see her in yeah. my mind. I think because it's like when they're standing in the hallway later on.
Yeah.
Like, it's that pink dress and the brown. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't notice that's what she was wearing in the dinner scene. Like, you see it from the top, and it's, like, a cardigan. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. When I, like, I was just watching the scene unfold, I was like, oh, my God, it's the dress. Like, that's what she wears yeah. during the moment. And I was like, oh, I couldn't believe I missed it earlier.
It's also kind of similar to Lorelai's dress at the wedding. Like, similar color and kind of cut-ish. I don't know.
At Sookie's wedding?
No, at Liz and TJ's wedding, the last episode. Oh. That, like, pink kind of...
Yeah.
Slip dress.
It's pink.
Well, okay.
This whole scene, though, is my Friday night okay. dinner.
I'll let you talk about
it. So if you'd like me to, yeah.
Thanks.
And I chose this scene because it felt like watching a car crash mm-hmm. happen in slow motion. That's how I would describe my experience. Sorry to anyone who's been in a car crash recently. Oh. I don't mean to co-opt your experience as a metaphor, but it was really painful. And yet it was like something, you know, you can't intervene. You can't stop it from happening. And they really are moving slowly. That is the thing. Like, they're really hedging their way around this conversation they're having, where they're like, so about today. And I guess, like, Rory is kind of trying to, I don't know. I don't think she's really trying to put the brakes on the situation, but I think she's trying to do enough, like, thinking through excuses kind of as a way to be like, well, we thought through everything. So she's bringing up, like, what about Lindsay? And Dean says, we're not working. We tried. We're not happy. It was a mistake. It's over. We both feel it's over. And I feel like Rory, after that last, like, Dean implying we, like, it being a mutual thing, as if Lindsay's, like, aware and, like, on an even playing field with Dean about everything in the relationship, then that's enough for Rory to be like, okay, this can happen, kind of, you know? And that is when they commence the cheating for real. They've already been doing it though, like emotionally cheating and whatever. But this is a makeout where they go straight to the bed and there's a fade to black.
Yeah.
Which, as far as this show goes, is a communication of a sexual encounter.
Indeed.
You might not fully know it yet, but we will get that confirmation later on. And as, you know, viewers of the show, this is something, I mean, it was more talked about in season 3, really. Rory, if she was ready or not to have sex with Jess.
Yeah.
It hasn't really come up this season as much, but this scene did have me thinking, like, why does Rory have sex with Dean?
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, I don't know, plenty to think about here, but I do think it goes back to that, like, false sense of comfort and safety we were talking about.
Yeah.
Because we do know, like, she was really close to, like, being interested in going all the way with Jess in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it never quite happened, but she did start to think about it, you know, toward the end of their relationship before things went wrong. And it's been a whole year since then. She's been at college. She's around people who are having sex, like, definitely Paris and Asher, right? So, like, and then add on to that, that she's been single and pining after Dean for, like, months or weeks now at this point. So I feel like with all of that, like, that's why it makes sense to me, actually, that she does this. But I don't know. I've always been confounded by it. Like, part of me is like, why did they have her do this? Does it make sense that she did this? Because it is quite a surprise. But watching it for this recap, I was almost like, I see why she did it.
Yeah.
And I find it believable for her character as much as it's painful to watch. How do you feel about it watching it around, like, this time around?
I think I agree with you. It does, like, I'm trying to think of a specific example that we've noted, but we've noted a lot that Rory really, I mean, A, she sees herself as the main character, but she kind of, like, she is, it's her own life, but she also thinks that everything that ever has been hers is hers. Like, she has a very kind of sense of entitlement, and she sees Dean as first and foremost hers, and she says that to to Lorelai later on. But I feel like that's why she decides, that's why she's able to, like, put the Lindsay stuff aside, is because she almost feels like Lindsay is the interloper. Lindsay is still the other woman. But yeah, I don't know, we have, like, some listeners here have some thoughts about this. Let me see, there was oh, yeah, Rory and Dean getting together at this point still upsets me, but Lorelai and Luke help me cope. Oh, here's the one I was looking for. I hate that Rory's first sexual encounter is with Dean when he's married. If it was going to be with him, I wish it would have been when they were teens and dating. I guess that would have been out of character for her, but so was this. And, yeah, I don't know. I think we've both just kind of agreed that it kind of is in character with her. It's not in character with, like, our idealized version of Rory, which I feel like is what what we think about most often. But looking at her closely, as we have in this rewatch, it's, like, clear that she has the groundwork for making this mistake, I guess.
Yeah.
And we just don't want to believe it. But I do agree. I kind of wish that she and Dean, like, if they were gonna have sex, they should have done it when they were younger, or she should have slept with Jess, or just waited until Logan. I don't know, just, you know, anything other than this.
I know, like, I feel like the idealized version of Rory would have, like, they would have, her and Dean would have, like, kissed, and then she would have, like, pulled away and been like, no, this is wrong, and then her and Lorelai could have still had their fight about, like, how could you kiss a married man? And then Rory still could have cried because she still likes Dean and she's sad, but she feels bad for kissing him, and Lorelai could comfort her. And that is, like, nearly the same thing that happens here, but it's the added element of the sex that I feel like is the true shocker. And not to get weird about it, because, I mean, I don't, Rory is whatever, like, do what you will, but there is a certain, like, her as, like, the girl of the show, like, the weirdness of like waiting for her, like when is she gonna do it? Yeah. Who's she gonna do it with? Like, it, I don't know, like maybe you think, oh, it's gonna be Jess. Oh, it's gonna be someone at school. Surprise, no, it's with Dean. Like, it's with Dean. Oh, okay.
Yeah, unexpected. I mean, unexpected if you'd asked at the beginning of season four for somebody who'd never
right,
seen
like in
it
the
before.
Grand scheme of the whole show, mm-hmm. it is like quite a twist, I feel like.
Yeah, it's also like, as we'll see in season five, it really, like, she's really just kind of reverting. She's not even the same person who liked Dean back in the
exactly.
day. We'll see that, like, end up happening pretty quickly, that they realize they're not the same people anymore. So they're just, like, trying to relive their teenage years. Mm-hmm. But now they're adults, so they can also do other things.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, because, like, really, I feel like the big catalyst was when Rory, like, cried on his shoulder when mm-hmm. she was having the height of her, like, academic stress. And Dean is kind of relying on her at the height of his stress with Lindsay and his, like, unhappiness in the marriage. So they're both, like, seeking things from this that they will not find yeah. in the end.
Yeah.
But we have to watch it play out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just blow up their lives. Yeah.
Well, why don't we go back to the inn?
Yes.
Take a little break from this conversation before we return to it.
Sounds good. So we... Back at the inn, Luke decides to approach Jason, who is still sitting in the chairs. I noted that these chairs are very nice. I like them. They were yeah. like Victorian style, light blue with pink floral patterns. I really liked them.
Love.
And so Luke is kind of trying to gauge what Jason is there for and everything. And Jason just straight out goes like, no, Lorelai and I are dating. We've been together for blah, blah, blah. We had a little bit of a hiccup, but we're fine now. He's just lying out of his ass. And I feel
yeah,
like he...
This is the real businessman,
yeah,
I feel like.
Like, he clocked while Luke was coming over and just decided
oh, yeah.
to shut it down as quickly as he could.
He tried.
Yeah. Luke deals with this pretty well. He's, like, as usual, stoic about it. But then... Jason, as you mentioned earlier, goes off to the bathroom, never to be seen again.
Never to be seen again.
and Lorelai comes up. Here's when Luke finally, like, expresses what he's thinking. He says he's mm-hmm. feeling kind of like, he's feeling stupid, like he's made a fool of himself. He thought his intentions were very clear, and he was being very clear with, like, the dates and the flowers. Lorelai does have a good point that he's never actually said, let's date or something like that.
Yeah. I feel like that, I felt like that was our conversation yeah. we had at the end of last episode mm-hmm. where, like, Luke is right. Like, well, like you were saying, Luke is saying, like, I was letting my actions speak for mm-hmm. themselves. Like, that's the romantic way to do it. And that is very truthful. But then also it's true that Lorelai was a bit confused.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like both things are true here, but there is confusion.
Yeah. And it's not as if, like, if they hadn't been friends before and he was doing all that stuff, then I feel like it would have been super clear. But yeah. we also have to remember he's the guy who comes and fixes up her house, like, helps her find baby chicks and stuff whenever she calls.
Right.
Like, it's not as if
oh,
he
yeah.
hasn't gone
the
out of his
chick.
Way for her before.
And he thought it
yeah.
was the booty call yeah. throwback.
Yeah, back in the day. So, yeah, it's totally... I don't know. It makes sense that she's confused. So he'd been assuming they were on the same page, but then he's like, but then your boyfriend is here. And Lorelai is trying to explain that she and Jason broke up. They go out onto the porch. This is the moment. And
the moment.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. Luke is like, you know, back after the wedding, I thought that there was a moment. And Lorelai's trying to be like, yeah, there was a moment. And then Luke just goes straight in for the kiss. She's like, wait, what are you mm-hmm. doing? And
yeah, she kind of like recoils.
Yeah. And he says, will you just stand still? And then they kiss. Mm-hmm. And then they break apart.
And then rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
Then she goes in for a second kiss. And he kind of flinches. And she says, stand still. Mm-hmm. And they kiss again. And then they're going to kiss a third time. Or maybe they do. But the moment... is diffused as a naked screaming Kirk runs out the door.
Yeah.
And Luke, based on this friendship they have, knows what he has to do. So he says, I'll be right back and I'll explain later. And he goes running after Kirk. And I will say that this, the kiss and the way then that it kind of has the comedic end, mm-hmm. this whole thing is my gazebo moment.
Yes, perfect.
Just such a good payoff, you know, like they had a really, they had a tough challenge for them as far as like, you had a slow burn for four seasons where people have been waiting for a kiss, and that's no easy bar, you know, like it could have been disappointing, but I think it was epic enough. And like, I love a good like kiss that doesn't go well necessarily, but then also goes well at the same time. So I like that they're like, they have this like instant chemistry, instant makeout kind of romantic moment, but they've also kind of got a bit of back and forth of their like kind of like, oh, why don't you stand still? Like kind of like bickering like an old married couple already sort of element. That's quite charming. So yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah.
Well worth the wait.
Yeah. And I think as one of our listeners says, Kirk and the Night Terrors was hilarious. And I was thinking that was really the best way they could end this scene, because if they had ended this scene and then had them like, I don't know, talk about it or something, that would have just completely ruined the romance.
Really deflates the energy. Yeah.
And this way, A, we get something hilarious, and B, we're like, okay, so now what? And we have to come back for season five. But we're also at the same time satisfied that it's finally happened.
Yeah, jumping for joy.
Yeah. So, yeah, the writing for this scene was just, like, impeccable. Very good.
And I guess, yeah, in their defense on the whole, like, they left us hanging with Jason in the bathroom. Like, what were they going to do? Like, we don't necessarily want Lorelai to go back in and dump Jason after this. Like, that is a little taking down the moment. But I don't know. Maybe they could have, like, had Jason see from a window. Yeah. I don't know. Like, just a small little thing to be like, that is the book closed on Jason. But instead, the book is slightly open. It's like the magazine in the bathroom. Like, that's where Jason is.
Yeah.
Until Richard's funeral in the reboot.
I'm just picturing this. I think the meme is from, like, I don't know. I can't remember the title of the film now, but it's John Travolta standing there, like, looking back and forth questioningly. And I just see a Jason standing there looking from Kirk to Lorelai and Luke making out, being like, what? I'll try and find that meme and post it.
Exactly. Like, that's all we needed, right? Just to know Jason would know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Back home, my first note for this is screaming inside in horror already.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
Not to be too dramatic, but that is what I was doing. It's kind of like genius in terms of the like the suspense and the subverted expectations, because Lorelai like goes home immediately and she goes in and she's talking to Rory. She goes upstairs. She comes back down. She's at their little table in the hallway talking to Rory about like, oh, you're missing everything. Like, I have so much to tell you. And like, oh, you might think, hey, Rory's gonna be there and Lorelai will share the good news and they'll be like, yay! Kind of like the end of season one where they were both
jumping for joy.
I got a boyfriend or whatever. Instead, Rory and Dean like come out of her room and
they like stumble out of the room all disheveled.
They look disheveled. Yeah. And Rory says, oh, he came over to borrow something, which is like such a bad like fit.
Don't even try.
I wrote, he came over to borrow your virginity. I don't know if that's, obviously that's an inappropriate joke, but I hope it's still tasteful. And seriously though, I will say Lauren Graham and like Lorelai's reaction, the way her like the pain in her face, just like the instant switch in moods, it gets so serious so fast. Like she was just like joyful a second ago and she looks so like disappointed, like Oh, it's so good. She's like conveying so much with just like her expression as she's looking at Rory like silently.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard.
Yeah. And then once Dean leaves, she just like silently walks forward, looks in the bedroom and sees the sheets all rumpled.
Oh, God.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know. The rest of this scene is really painful. Rory's just like, it just happened. I know that you'd been wanting me to tell you about it. She's acting as if Lorelai's just stunned because she didn't realize that Rory was going to be having sex with somebody and that's it. She's just like so oblivious. But Rory's like, aren't you glad that it happened with somebody good who loves me? And then
oh my God.
Lorelai's response is just, he's married.
He's married.
Yeah. And Rory is doing the thing that we always see like in media and stuff when somebody slept with a married person. They're like, but you don't understand. Things aren't working out with Dean and Lindsay. Like, they both feel it. Lorelai just this whole time is like kind of, I don't know, turning the statements that Rory is saying back around at her, trying to just like reflect, get her to reflect on what she's actually saying and realize what it sounds like, I think.
Yeah, like, so when Rory says, he's not a married guy, he's Dean, my Dean. Lorelai says, he's not your Dean, he's Lindsay's Dean.
Yeah.
And that speaks to your earlier point about Rory's misguided sense of entitlement about thinking, like, Dean is hers, whereas, like, he is really not. But by the rule of the law, he is not.
Yeah. She says that Rory's the other woman.
Yeah, and I would say, like, it gets a little harsh. Like, maybe it was harsh from the very beginning, but Lorelai starts to say, like, this isn't the way your first time was supposed to be. I didn't raise you to be like this, which is kind of, like, twisting the knife in a little bit, I feel like, at this point. Rory, like, then starts to lash out as well, and she's like, well, you slept with Chris when he was with Sherry. So then Lorelai is kind of, like, having to defend herself there when it's really, like, not even about that. And Rory claims, like, I was ready. I made the decision on my own, and that's why you're angry at me, because I didn't consult with you beforehand. And Lorelai is like, well, clearly you weren't ready, because if you were, you wouldn't have done this. Like, we get the he was my boyfriend first line, where Lorelai then responds, you dumped him. Like, yeah, it's just getting very sad, and they're really just angry with each other at this point. And Rory eventually, like, storms out of the house. She is angry with Lorelai for ruining this for her. She calls Dean in tears, but Lindsay answers, and so she just, like, hangs up.
So painful.
She's crying. Yeah, she's crying in the yard, and in the background we see Lorelai. We see, like, only her feet pretty much, like, approaching Rory, and that is the end of the season. Like, what a note to leave on.
Yeah. Yeah, I have so many conflicted feelings about, like, this confrontation, because Lorelai is just saying what we're all thinking.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we have a couple of listeners who point out, like, that maybe it's not the best way for Lorelai to react, like one person says.
Is this the time? Yeah. Is this the way?
Yeah. One person says, I'm annoyed at how Lorelai responds to Rory after sleeping with him. She, of all people, should show some compassion for poor decision making on the sex front, which, true.
Yeah.
We also, one person says, I understand Lorelai being upset and disappointed in Rory, but I feel like her approach and the way she talked to Rory about it was all wrong. When they finally make up and talk about it later is how she should have approached it in the first place. I think I agree with that, but I also am like, I don't know how anybody could possibly have the composure to be like, to think that, to think of a better way to handle it. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think about their confrontation?
Yeah, I think it's like we often do the, like, they should have done this, you know? And so I think, like, yeah, I completely agree. Lorelai could have waited. She could have, like, had a more conversational tone, maybe, rather than, like, kind of accusations, kind of, even if they're true accusations, of course. But realistically, I think this is a very human, like, a portrayal of a very human response, where, like, Lorelai is shocked and reacting from that shock and, like, protectiveness and just dismay and, like, all of those feelings. And she does not have a filter at that moment, you know, and lets it all out, kind of like Rory does by the end of the conversation as well. So, like, yeah, in an ideal world, I totally agree, but I can understand why it happened the way it did too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just such a rough scene, everything about it. I noted at one point Rory's like says that Dean took his ring off, and I'm just like, oh Jesus, that's so
I know. I think
so gross.
That might have been a turning point for Lorelai in the conversation as well, because she really cringed at that. Yeah. And I do have like pity for Rory, because like Rory is just so young, and like Lorelai said, like you weren't ready because you wouldn't have made, like, like Rory doesn't know how sad that is that he did that, and like that this is a thing that happens, like, oh, poor girl.
I totally feel sorry for Rory by the end, because and I think we have to remember, like, I don't think Lorelai was necessarily ready to have sex when she first had sex either. She ended up pregnant as a teenager with a guy like who she didn't want to be with long term and stuff like that and everything. So it's not like we can say, I don't know, that Lorelai had a good sexual past. I don't know, it's just so hard.
Yeah, like, she could have led with that and her spirit, maybe. Like, I've made mistakes as well, and that is why I want to tell you this is a mistake. Like, I can clearly see it, and it's okay that you made the mistake, but, like, let's reassess moving forward. Like, get a good night's sleep, and we'll talk in the morning.
That might have been, potentially that would have been the best way to just be like, let's revisit this in the morning. But
circle back. Yeah,
I do feel really bad for Rory, like, kind of divesting all this from Dean, just that her first time was also so marred. But at the same time, like, she made her bed.
Well, she left it unmade, actually. But, you know.
It's rough.
I didn't realize. So I think in season five, do they flash back to Dean and Rory?
Yeah, they, like, season five starts, like, from the moment that Rory and Dean come out of the room, and then you see Dean hearing the fight, I think, between Rory and Lorelai. Oh, yeah, and then they flash back because we get that song.
Yeah, because I was trying to, like, I was waiting for the cringe Candyman moment. Okay. Well, so nice to know that we'll be able to pick up right where we left off with this in a few months, a couple months.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a couple of listener feedback that I think is for season five, episode one.
So. Yeah, because it's confusing. Yeah. And I actually was a bit confused when I ended the episode, and I was reading the listener comments, and I actually went back to, like, make sure I didn't accidentally, like miss it. Anything in the episode. I was like, no, I think I saw everything. Yeah. So, yeah, well, it will be one of those, like, right away kind of finale to premiere situations.
Yeah. Fun times. Okay, we made it through. Who was your MVP for this episode?
My MVP is Lorelai.
Okay. Finally gets her kiss.
Yeah, she finally gets her kiss. She finally gets her in open. And until this final thing, things are going pretty well for her. I mean, I guess there was her whole, like, messing around with her parents, which wasn't that great. But major milestone professionally and romantically, I think that's why I pick her. What about you?
I'm giving my MVP to the wild card of the episode, Kirk.
Nice.
He spending his first night with Lulu. He admits that he loves Lulu. He's building on his friendship with Luke. He is instrumental to one of the best scenes of the series. And he's just living out everything we expect from Kirk as a comedic genius.
I think he should seek medical help about his night terrors. Yeah.
I just read this book for my book club called The Ferryman. That's, like, all about these people are, like, traveling through space in cryostasis and living in a dream world, dream utopia type world. So that's what I was thinking. Like, you better get that checked out, or who knows what's actually happening to your body.
I don't think Kirk is in a utopia, though. It doesn't sound like. Sounds like he's being attacked all the time.
Well, the utopia, as most utopias, is not what it seems. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Anyways.
Yeah.
On that note, we'll be back next week with our recap.
We will look back at the season as a whole. I always enjoy doing that.
Yeah, me too. This one was a good season, I think. I mean, they all are, but...
Yeah, we'll see our final takeaways next week. So okay, talk soon. Thanks for listening to Talking Fast, a Gilmore Girls podcast.
Don't forget to rate and review us and share us with your friends. Join us on Instagram and TikTok at Talking Fast Podcast.
And join the conversation by emailing us your thoughts, talkingfastpodcast@gmail.com.